Welcome to Eno's Living Legacies Limited Edition podcast series. This podcast is part of our centennial celebration, marking 100 years of legacy, innovation, and impact for the Eno Center for Transportation. Founded by William P. Eno in 1921, from our inception, we focused on bringing the brightest minds in transportation together and building the capacity of the transportation industry through our education and training programs. Through this oral history project and podcast, we highlight some of those who have been part of Eno through the years. From board members to alumni to staff members, each participant reflects on Eno's history and impact through the years. Enjoy your listen.
Welcome, folks, to this podcast in which we're going to feature two extraordinary leaders of public transportation, Gary Thomas and Phil Washington. I'm Jerry Primo. I've been fortunate enough to have a career in this wonderful business called public transportation, and specifically to have served for 9 years on the board of directors of the Eno Center for Transportation. During that period, I particularly focused on people development issues and was, again, fortunate enough to spend 2 years as vice chair of Eno. With us today are, as I said, Gary Thomas and Phil Washington. Gary has just concluded a nearly 20-year stint as general manager, CEO of DART. Phil Washington is concluding 6 years as head of LA Metro. One thing that each of these gentlemen has done is to chair the American Public Transportation Association at different times, but working collaboratively. Likewise, they've both been honored by APTA as the CEO of the year for their proven work in making their communities better through public transportation. They're veterans of Hill testimony, leadership in their communities, and in developing people. So with that, I would invite to start with you, Gary. You want to tell us a little bit more about yourself?
So thanks, Jerry. It's great to be here today, and it's great to be with you and Phil, certainly. You know, as I reflect back on my career, it's been an incredible opportunity. You know, the transit industry, in growing up, I never, ever dreamt that I would have the opportunity to go to so many places and meet so many people and make so many friends across the United States. My wife, Kay, and I have had the opportunity to make really, really great friends throughout the country. But most importantly, this role and this career has allowed me to make a difference, a positive difference in the community I've served. And my quick story on that, and in my notes, that's in quotes, because in the quote is from my daughter, because she, about 6 months after she graduated from college, she came in and told Kay and I she was quitting her job at a big accounting firm. And we said, why? Long story short, we said, why? And she said, because I want to make a difference in the community I serve. And I thought, you know, in transit, we get to do that every single day. We get to make a difference in people's lives. We don't often appreciate that. We don't often know those people's names, but we get that opportunity, and that's what gives me satisfaction.
Phil, your perspective and any information on your career that I didn't do justice to?
Well, let me first say, like Gary mentioned, I'm just so happy to be a part of this conversation. I can't think of another colleague in the industry that I would want to do this podcast with than Gary Thomas. And then the moderator is okay too.
Thank you.
No, I like Gary. I mean, the idea of making a difference is huge in my mind. I mean, you know, I've always said that transit, public transportation, is a socioeconomic enabler, right? You know, as a kid, I can remember one of my sisters, you know, leaving public housing on one end of the city and public housing that we grew up in. And she was the first one to go to college. And she was taking public transit all the way across the city of Chicago. It took her 2.5 hours to get from our public housing on the far south side of Chicago to Northeastern University, which was on the north side of Chicago. She did that for 4 years going to college. It was that important to her. Now, hey, that was not just buses and trains changing lives. That was providing accessibility to a young lady who never would have got her college education if it were not for public transportation. So, you know, I don't think so much about my career. I think more about the opportunities that we are providing to people like my sister Lorna, who was able to get a college education because of transit, man. That is a powerful thing.
That's huge.
I've got a few questions I'm going to present to you. I do want to do justice, Phil, to your background. You were in Denver as general manager and served honorably for, 20, 25 years in the military, in the Army, retiring as a command sergeant major, which is the highest ranking that any enlisted man can have. So to both of you, thanks for your service over the years. Now, one of the things that each of you spoke about is people. Transit carries people. Transit transforms lives. But transit is powered by its employees, by its people. Now, you two are two of the godfathers of the MAX program. Can you, Gary, provide a little background on what this MAX program was and how it got invented and why?
So Jerry, it started in a hotel several years ago, and no, we weren't in the bar, just to be clear. But Art and Phil had this conversation, and they approached me that evening and said, "Gary, we've got this idea. Would you be willing to be part of it?" And of course, you know, it was an idea at the time. There wasn't any shape or form or function to it, but it was, how do we benefit from each other's knowledge? How do we allow our employees to learn from the employees in Denver or LA Metro and not only learn the good things that they're doing, but learn what they had done that didn't work too well? And it was that opportunity to have those incredibly open and frank conversations among our employees. And Phil, if I remember correctly, the initial thought was it was an operations kind of focus.
Yeah.
But very quickly, we opened it up to our entire organization.
Yeah.
Do you want to give your perspective on its founding and why you were such a fan of this program?
Well, I think it's like Gary, it's what Gary mentioned. I think we all approached, and when Gary talks about Art, that was Art Leahy, yeah, who was at that time the CEO at the agency I'm at now. I think we had a lot of things in common, but the one thing we had in common was what you mentioned earlier, Jerry, that we talked about, that's people. So we actually knew the CEOs, our colleagues, who would agree with such an idea. And we had no hesitation that Gary was one of them because he believed in his people. And so I think that was the commonality with all of us. We all believe in professional development of our people, investing in our people. And so, as Gary said, we, you know, didn't have any form or, we just talked about this idea, this vision, which is how a lot of these great things start, right? And then you really let the smart people structure it. you know,
figure it out. Yeah.
Right. Right. And so, you know, biblically, the good book talks about without a vision, the people perish. Well, that vision of Gary, myself, Art Leahy, was powerful in that the central theme was people. And then the last thing I would say, I was reading something not too long ago, and I think this is relevant because there were other agencies that said no to us, by the way, right? And I couldn't understand why you're saying no, not to join this thing early on when it would benefit your people. And I thought about this thing where a department head came to the CEO and the department head said, hey, what if we provide professional development to the employees and he or she leaves the agency? What if they leave? You know, we provide it. And then the CEO responded, well, what if we don't provide those professional development opportunities and those people stay? And that is a powerful antidote, right? That to say that if you don't provide it and people stay, what kind of organization will you have? So I think that, you know, as Gary mentioned, we were all thinking on the same wavelength, which is why and how the program started.
You know, Phil, and you mentioned making sure our employees have that opportunity to grow. And as you and I know, there were some CEOs at the time that were very concerned that if they became part of this, their employees would get stolen by the other organizations. And I'll never forget what Art said. He said, I want my people to be the ones that everybody else wants.
Mm-hmm.
And that has always stuck with me. We all ought to be in that same boat. And I think the MAX program really has generated that kind of opportunity that our people are the ones that everybody else wants to hire.
Well, this multi-agency exchange MAX program started in 2012. And it was a collaborative effort. Shortly after you got it going, you invited in, or Keith Parker, the head of the Atlanta system, knocked your door down and said, I want in on this action.
Mm-hmm.
In 2017, collaboration, a partnership developed between and among the participating transit properties who invented and own, quote unquote, the MAX program with the Eno Center for Transportation, try and build on some of the leadership activities that existed there. Phil, you and I were on the Eno board for a period. And you got a sense of what Eno was up to. Can you give your perspective on this introduction of Eno into the MAX community?
Yes, Jerry. You know, obviously, as you said, with the Eno involvement, we talked about people issues on the Eno board. And I'm happy to say that Eno is very, very concerned with professional development and do a lot around professional development. We saw that the MAX program needed more structure, actually, and it was getting large. And so the idea of having a organization like Eno take over the facilitation of this made all the sense in the world. And so we had that discussion of how we needed a facilitator, and that is that's not to say that our facilitators were not doing a good job, because they were. Each of the agencies had a facilitator in their agencies. And Gary and I, started that a few years after we started, probably the first year, I think we had facilitators. But we needed more structure, and the Eno Foundation was able to provide that structure and make the sessions and make the effort even more national and global in terms of best practices and that sort of thing. So we were happy to have them.
How's it worked out, Gary?
I still remember that day when Phil called me and said, "Gary, I want you to consider something." And okay, Phil, what? And he said, we need to provide more structure. We need to provide a more robust program within the MAX program. Okay, and of course, you know, I have abundant amount of respect for Phil and his thoughts and ideas. So I said, okay. And he said, just listen to what they have to say. And I'll be honest with you, I was a little guarded. I was a little protective of this thing that we had created. And I didn't want it torn apart and rebuilt in some other form or fashion. And after a lot of conversation and Phil continuing to convince me, and it's hard to say no to Phil, and so a little more convincing, but it became abundantly clear that the program really did need more. I mean, we had taken it about as far as we could. We really didn't know how to push it to that next level. And we had great people, obviously, working on it, but we just didn't have the time, the energy, the wherewithal to take it to that next level. And Eno came in and said, we want to make the program more robust. We want to add a leadership, a management component. And again, as we've all said, this is about development of our people. And so it's like, okay, let's do that, but let's make sure that we do our very best at protecting the original concept. And Eno has done that.
I was on the Eno board when those discussions were occurring. One of the things that the board wanted was to ensure that we played that facilitator role, but without taking over, quote unquote. This is a program founded in transit operating properties who are trying to share best practices, develop people. I think that ownership concept continues, even while the program has expanded to include other properties around the country, WMATA and Phoenix and others. So it's good to reflect back on the program.
It's turned out great. Gary, it really, really has been, it's really taken it to the next level.
Well, each of you is moving to another level. So let me invite some reflections and some commentary on particular satisfactions you've experienced in each of your careers. Gary?
So I'm going to stick with the people theme because, again, it really is about people. And when you look at your legacy, I guess, if you will, who are the people that you've met? Who are the people that influenced you? And as I look at this screen, you know, Jerry, certainly you've been a huge mentor for me. Phil, I think the world of you. And, you know, great friends all across the country that this career has allowed me to have. And again, the opportunity to make that difference, that impact for people like Phil's sister, that's such a powerful story. And you know, I don't know all the stories of all the people that had that opportunity to get a better job or to, you know, get to their job or doctor or grocery store, all the things that we say. But, you know, we were talking earlier about how the industry has moved, certainly in the last few years. And this is an industry that is slow on moving, quite frankly. But it's been a great, great opportunity. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that next chapter.
Mm-hmm. Phil?
Yeah, I'll be brief. I know we're running up against it, but I got to go with Gary. It's all about these people. Now, you know, we will never know the impact that we've had on people that we don't even know.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it, right? I mean, when we talk about legacy and understanding I was thinking about this the other day, that infrastructure and what we're doing, the service we're providing, is multi-generational, right? We've got capital projects that we're building that will stand for the next 100 years. Gary had a large capital program. I've got a large capital program, both in Denver and here. I mean, the impact, right? I mean, people having jobs on those capital projects, the mobility and accessibility that we're providing people. So I think this idea of people and understanding that we may never know the impact that we've had, but it is a powerful thing. And then lastly, the opportunity, when we start talking about greater satisfactions, the opportunity that I've had to get to know people like Gary and Jerry and other people in the infrastructure space has been profound for me. It's been profound. And then the last thing is, and we've all had this, but I had a, you know, we haven't had it much, but I had a speaking engagement probably about a year ago, and it was with some kids. I think they were college kids. And my daughter introduced me.
Oh, boy.
And yeah, right. I was like, oh, yeah, right. I don't know, man. But the things my daughter said were incredible to me of the impact I had on her. So sometimes we don't even know the impact we have on our own kids, let alone the impact we have on riders on our system and who will never know us. And so I think that we should be satisfied knowing that our work and our careers have had this incredible impact on people that probably don't even know who we are.
Yep. Yep.
So end with that.
My hope is that through this podcast, people know who you are more than they did before it started. A couple concluding comments. You've given stories about family, the transit family, part of the transit community. And what's this whole transit thing about? It's about building community. It's about connecting people. Gary and Phil, I'm delighted that you took time to do this. Proud to call you friends. Proud to be part of the family with you.
Thank you for listening, and find out more about our centennial celebration at 100years.enotrans.org.